Welcome to Virtually Speaking, a TechNet radio presentation. I'm your host, Yang Cho, a technology evangelist at Microsoft. This is the second episode of our automation series. In last episode, we have Charles Joy, Michael Green, to give us an overview of the automation scheme that we have. And in this episode, we're going to get more detail on how we operate, how we automate our IT operation and processes. And with that, I'm going to bring our panel experts online for us. We have Charles Joy joining us, and we also have Tiander in either that. I'm going to go with Tiander first. Hi, good morning, Tiander.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hi.
Give us an introduction of yourself.
Hi, I am Tiander. I'm based in Amsterdam, so that's the Netherlands. I'm a senior program manager within the Windows Server and Systems Center team.
With that, I'm going to bring in Charles Joy. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
You want to tell us about yourself a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Now, why not? So, yeah, I'm on the same team as Tiander, just based here in the United States. And we deal everything Windows Server System Center. And recently, very recently, we've been renamed the, instead of the Whiskey or Windows Server System Center CAT team, we're the Enterprise Cloud Group now. So we're in transition. So it's an easy, I always say it the wrong way too now because it's so fresh. So, but
I have to tell you, this is a very cloudy morning that we have today. Glad to have you guys on board, and today we're going to get further detail on the system management automation. Now, last time we heard a lot of terms. We heard system management automation, we have Azure automation, we heard PowerShell, we heard Orchestrator, we heard Design State automation. Now, today, specific to system management automation and Azure automation, I'm going to ask Charles, give us a clear definition what it is and how do I start?
Sure. So like yesterday, we gave a little bit of what's the difference between Orchestrator and SMA. Today, we're really going to just focus on what's next in the evolution of automation from the System Center group of products. So SMA, or Service Management Automation, ships on the media for Orchestrator. And during the demo, we'll show a bit of that. And it's easy to install. There's three components, and it's the same concepts that came with Orchestrator. So if you're familiar with Orchestrator and orchestration and runbook engine, it's the same concept. We even use similar terms like runbook and whatnot, and except it has a different engine. It's now running on the PowerShell workflow engine as opposed to a proprietary runbook engine. And SMA is available. It snaps directly into Windows Azure Pack, and there's really not much to get it set up. It's a very quick install, very easy install. It's got a web service, it's got a PowerShell provider, and it's got the actual service, the runbook service. Now, how that's compared to Azure Automation, it's all of that just in Azure, and it's way easier because all you have to do is sign up for the service and you're good to go.
Well, that's also, okay, so Azure Automation is actually just the same thing, but it's in Azure environment.
Essentially, yes. I mean, the code base is almost identical, except where it runs and how it runs.
Okay, so we know how to get it. We get it from Orchestrator Media. So, Tiander, so how do I start this whole thing? How do I integrate it into my existing environment?
So obviously, Service Management Automation, also known as SMA, is part of Windows Azure Pack. So if you install Windows Azure Pack, and for the guys out there and girls who don't know what Windows Azure Pack is all about, it's bringing down the experience from Azure down to on-premise. And when you install Windows Azure Pack, you could add SMA to it. And that would, as Charles noted, be installable from the Orchestrator Media, and you install it, and we can walk you through where to find it and what you need to configure, high level, and that will get you quickly started.
I see. So when we bring in this whole system management automation, and as you mentioned, it's also part of the Windows Azure Pack, what do I actually get? I mean, Charles, in last episode, you mentioned something about DevOps. I mean, how this whole thing related to DevOps?
Sure. So, I mean, you're getting an automation framework and platform, an established, ready-to-use platform to use. Now, obviously, if you have Windows Server or Windows, for that matter, you have PowerShell, and that's great for scripting and some a lot of projects for scripting. But what SMA and Azure Automation offer is a framework, a database backend, a highly available engine that will run your PowerShell scripts and workflows. So how that relates to DevOps is, you know, DevOps is all about making the relationship between the software developers and the IT pros better and making it easier for both sides. Automation, hands down, does that on both sides. And I think in the demonstrations, we can show a little bit of that, an example of that.
So in other words, system management automation is more like a solution, right? So you put in place, it helps you to really achieve the ultimate goal of DevOps, which is continuous deployment.
Yeah.
Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. I mean, you can use it for just about anything, but if you're very DevOps focused, you can definitely tune it to that scenario.
That's very exciting. You know, Tianer and Charles, you have been doing a lot of talking this morning. I'm ready for you to show me something, you know, put the rubber on the road and show me how it works.
Okay, guys, we are looking at Windows Azure Pack. So this is the administrator portal. So to give you some context, we're trying to bring down the Azure experience down on-premise, and we are doing that with Windows Azure Pack. You can get Windows Azure Pack from the web platform installer. So you run through the installer, and that will guide you through how to set up and configure Windows Azure Pack. Now, this talk is about service management automation. So if you want to set that up, you just need to browse to the orchestrator media, which is part of System Center. And when you start that setup, so this is Microsoft System Center 2012 R2, this is the orchestrator setup, you will find a portion down below which is called Service Management. And by clicking on each of these, this is a three-part installer, you will get the web service, the Runbook Worker, and of course the PowerShell module we need for that. And if you have completed that, you will get a pane here, a section which is called Automation. Well, for this demo, I already ran through the installation and configuration to save time, but you can see here when you've completed that you got a kind of a cloud here with a lightning through it. And if you click on that, if you want to ever revisit your settings, this is actually the one of the few settings you need to make, and you can click on this this hyperlink, and that will provide you a way to enter your service URL. So obviously we are utilizing a web service to do so. So if you have gone through the installation and after this demo you want to check out more valuable content we've put out there like blogging, just remember this short link. And that will take you to our Building Clouds blog, where we have a bunch of information around SMA and pretty much downloadable samples as well, which will guide you through how to set things up, how to reuse what we've done. And if you look at it, it'll show like this, where you will have an automation section in here, and you will find all kind of blog posts of SMA. But before that, I wanted to give you a short introduction into service management automation. So if you click on automation here, the first thing we're going to show you is an overview and a dashboard on the runbooks you have running or scheduled, and you see some specific analytics on what kind of runbooks which were running, and you can change the view on it. And for efficiently using SMA, you can provide and import and configure what we call assets, which will make your life a lot easier. For example, as mentioned in the introduction, SMA is based on PowerShell. And so your runbook is actually within range of any PowerShell module you want to use. I could use an import module action here that will bring in a PowerShell module which you are probably used to work with, but you want to integrate that in SMA. That's fine. And you could add all kinds of settings, like a connection, like a credential, like a variable. You can create schedules around it. So if I want to provide a specific credential, I could just click on it. I could select a PowerShell credential or a certificate or what have you. And I could also create different connections which we pre-populate for you what to fill in. So you can see that we have system center presence already with config manager, DPM, operations manager, which makes it a lot more easier to add that to your runbooks. So if you have this imported and configured, it's not a prerequisite, but it makes your life a lot easier. You can go ahead and you can click on runbooks, and this will give you an overview of the runbooks which you have currently. But let's, for this demo, just add a new kind of Hello World example. So you go to the bottom and click on New, which will give you all the Windows Azure Pack capabilities and options you have. But for this demo, we're going to do a quick create, and we're going to create a runbook, which I'm going to call TechNet. Just give it a name. You can provide a description. You can provide a tag, which will enable you to more easy find that specific runbook. So I hit create, and that's it. In two steps, you've just created a runbook. So if you want to go ahead and play around with the runbook and edit, the first thing you would like to do is hit on this button here to filter out, and I could just easily search for my runbook based on tagging, on the name, and it immediately pops up, and I can click on it. When I click on it, you have a couple of options here, and obviously this is a new runbook, and as you can see, we provide you an overview of what the status of that runbook is. So every runbook has a status of published, not published, in draft, you're editing it. So if it is in a not published state, it's only viewable for the administrator. And that will enable you to go to the author section. And if we click on author, it will enable you to edit the runbook. So just click on draft, and it will give you a skeleton of that runbook. So just to give you an easy example, what I could do just to make a very simple runbook, I could first create a param section, and let's give this a string variable name, very easy, like hello. And what you can also see within the authoring pane is that we try to help you with IntelliSense. So you can see that the variables are dark blue, and if you're gonna do comments, they become green, but we also do kind of IntelliSense. So for example, if I wanna output this and I'm entering WR, I could just easy press the control space, and that will give you, if I continue writing this, like this, it will provide me suggestions if I do something like, let's see, what would be a good example? Let's go for write output. That's maybe a good sample to do. I will do this, and I will pass the string on there. And now when I start authoring, I can also bring in all the assets I have. In the bottom here, I could do insert, and I could insert either activities or the different runbooks or different settings. So if I would require a credential, I could add that here. And if I'm about ready to test it without publishing it, I could just go ahead and test, hit the test button, and that would bring up a question. Are you sure you want to save and test? I would hit OK, and I will say hello TechNet, and just hit on enter. Then it will be picked up by a runbook worker. You see that it is now queued, and this is one of the strengths on high availability. I could have multiple runbook workers picking that job up. It's currently in a starting phase, and it will be started by a runbook, and then it will do simply picking up my input and writing that to the screen. And for this, you are ready with your runbook, ready to publish it. And when you want to edit it, you can just go to author again and go ahead and edit it. So let's wait a couple seconds for it to complete, and it will shortly show us the output here. So that's a quick introduction of SMA.
Now, Tiander, this is great. This appears to be a very powerful integration tool. Now, let me just make sure. So I'm going to ask you to clarify that. In order to get to this interface, we need the system management automation components of it, which we get it from the Orchestrator Media.
Correct.
You mentioned that. And we also need to have Windows Azure Pack in place.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay,
SMA is a component of Windows Azure Pack, so to say.
I see. And so that's great. That's how we can get to this interface. Now, another thing, in the beginning of the demo, you show us all those assets. Are they come with the media, or you imported it?
So we bring you some added value and pre-populate some of the assets, but obviously you need to have your specific connection strings or your specific server names. So to give you an example, if I do like insert, and I want to insert a setting, let's say that I want to connect to my virtual machine manager environment, I could just ping my or select my VMM connection, and that will be inserted on the fly. So we are inserting that automatically for you. So we will provide a way automatically and very easy for you to get the automation connection. Obviously, you will need to do your whatever it is you want to do. And that goes for runbook as well. So if I would choose a runbook to have inserted, so let's say I would like to deploy a tenant VM network. Let's take that as an example and click on the next screen. Well, let's pick one which has a parameter set. You will see the kind of parameters and the information I'm asking. So if I click on OK, we will try to help you to make a good decision on what kind of values you need to enter. So we're trying to help you and pre-populate and bring you kind of intelligence within authoring the runbook.
That is great. So I really see this for cloud administrator, for system administrator. This is really a great platform for you to really consolidate and integrate all your assets, which either you previously have developed or you're going to develop a new. This is really a great platform to stay with.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tiander, for a great overview of service management automation. Now we're going to shift gears here and talk about Azure automation, which is a lot easier to set up because you don't have to really do anything. You just go to your existing Azure subscription, and if you haven't signed up for the automation preview, you can go ahead and do that. We have a lot of resources online for that. I don't want to waste time with that, but really it's an offering. One of the resource providers down the left-hand side here, you can see automation. Really, to get yourself set up, you create a new account name. Right now, because it's in preview, it's tied to East US, but that's going to expand once it goes GA, I believe, at the end of this month. I'm not positive on those dates, but the end of October, I believe. And once you have an automation account set up, wait until you see this. It looks kind of exactly like SMA, and that's because it is the same kind of, it's the same code base as SMA. So you have the dashboard where you can see what has run, what will run, things like that, jobs in the past 30 days. But because it's a shared service on Azure, you do get a usage overview because there's free option, but you can also pay for more minutes and things like that, just like any service. But you can see how many minutes have you used for the month and whatnot. and it's per subscription and whatnot. Same sort of quick glance stuff on the right-hand side here, how many run books, what's an edit, you know, the asset information, and a bunch of other specific information for your subscription and whatnot. So, and to follow through there, the assets still exist there. Runbooks exist. Now, obviously, the targets that you're going to use for Azure Automation are different than the targets you would use on-prem. But it, essentially, if it has a web service endpoint that's publicly available, you can automatically hit it with Azure Automation. And Azure Automation has the ability to connect to and manage inside of virtual machines through the PowerShell endpoints. So if you have a Azure IaaS VM, that's sitting there and it has a express route or a site-to-site VPN connection, Azure Automation could reach through that VM as sort of a jumping point and then do some stuff on-prem if you really wanted to. Now, that's a little bit more complex and way more complex than the scenario I'm going to talk about here. And really what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to try to relate it to sort of a DevOps scenario. And a scenario that I've been using quite a bit lately in my current project. And it's about automating the deployment of first-party workloads. Now, I don't have first-party workloads in Azure Automation, but it's the same exact concept whether you're on-prem with SMA or in the public cloud with Azure. Now, I'm building out first-party workloads like Exchange and SharePoint into VM roles. And often, once I'm done developing that, you know, I want to hand it over to the guy who's going to operate it. So he needs endpoints to those virtual machines. He may not want to look at the infrastructure, but he wants the endpoint. What IP address and port do I hit? Now, in SMA, I have a set of runbooks that just creates a bunch of NAT rules, which essentially is an endpoint, and I could send an email automatically saying, hey, the product is ready for you to test. Here's the endpoint. So I wanted to take a look at what does that look like in Azure for VMs that are provisioned. So how do we add endpoints here? And I recently, not that recently, a couple months ago, published a runbook called New Azure VM Endpoint, which the nice thing about Azure Automation is that when you go new automation runbook, you have this option for from gallery, and that is all the runbooks that are available from Microsoft or the community, including the one I was just talking about. So as soon as this spins up, we'll be able to see the available runbooks, which we can see here. There's 38 currently, and this is pulling from Script Center automatically. I think it's a fantastic way to get things integrated from the community itself. And if we look at utility, and we look at, let's see, where is the one? New Azure Endpoint. You can see I created it. It's been downloaded 327 times so far. And, you know, it creates a new standalone Azure Endpoint for virtual machines. Now, I'm not going to re-import it because I already have it working. What I wanted to do is show you that when you click New from Gallery, you get access to 38 right now. Runbooks, and you can add your own as community, and they will show up in here within like 24 hours. You just got to follow the guidelines that we have published. Now, I don't want to belabor this point too much, but I do want to show you that I have a virtual machine up here called DSC Test VM. It has a couple endpoints that ship like when you actually create a VM. It's got a remote desktop and the WinRM endpoints. But what I'm going to do is run a runbook that will actually add another endpoint, let's say for whatever, I mean, I could pick whatever we want. So let's go ahead and go back to Azure Automation. Go to my account. I'm going to go to Runbooks. And I'm going to go into the, let's see here, new Azure VM endpoint. I'm actually going to look at my most previous job. And copy out this information so I can reuse it. But you would have your own. But I'm going to actually kick this off again. And you can see when I hit start, I'm presented with a bunch of parameters. Now, I could automatically pass these in by calling the runbook from another runbook. But I wanted to show you there is the availability for interaction and self-service if you wanted to. So the local port is going to, I'm just going to do port 80 because it's easy. The endpoint name, I'm just going to call it my custom endpoint, the protocol, TCP, the public port, this could be anything, I'm going to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, obviously that would be, you'd use that port as attached to the external address that you have, the service name, this is the service name that the VM lives in, and then the VM name, the actual VM you want to add the endpoint to. These are things that I've provided for the example. I'm going to hit go, and it's going to actually put that runbook into the shared queue that's part of the service. It'll go and queue the job up, start it up, compile it, and then run it. And then what we'll see is something actually happens on the VM side, and that endpoint is added. And why does that relate to anything DevOps? Well, how I have used it on-prem, because that's where I have most of my experience with this sort of thing with DevOps, is that I automatically add those endpoints. I can deliver them to my ops guys, and they can access the stuff immediately without having to ask me questions. They just get an email, and everyone's happy sort of thing. So we're just waiting for this job to spin up and finish, and you can see it's running right now. And in a matter of moments, it should be complete, and we'll see an endpoint up on the actual VM. Oh, and also of note, I recently updated all my runbooks that I have published to leverage Azure Active Directory, which is really nice. You don't have to use certificates anymore. You go through the steps for Azure Active Directory, and then all you have to do is identify a credential, store it in the assets, and then use the add Azure account for that credential, and then you're authenticated against Azure to perform whatever actions you want, whether it's adding a service or building out an entire infrastructure, which I also have examples for. So let's see if I've talked enough for that to be complete. It is. So we'll go and look at the, there's the output. You can see all the things that's and it succeeded. We'll go up to the actual instance, go to the endpoints. And this sometimes takes a little bit of a kick to refresh. So I'm just going to refresh the page here, and it will come back, and it and there, the endpoint is actually there. It's just the UI hasn't caught up with it yet. So that's essentially the demo. Once that shows, proves that it's done, I think that's the scenario I wanted to talk about. I hope that was helpful. I wanted to pick something quick and easy.
Now, Charles, I see a couple of things really immediate that pop up that's really beneficial. First of all, the experience is very, very similar to what Tiander showed us, which is on-premise when we run the Azure Pack, and this is actually Microsoft Azure in the public cloud, and the experience is very, very similar. For me, I think that's a great benefit for IT administrator, that because there's really very, very little retraining, if at all, that's needed.
Right. And that's actually, and like I said in the first episode, if you're looking for roadmap of what's going to happen in SMA and even Azure Pack, look at Windows Azure, because that's where we're headed. Now, the things that are going to be incorporated in on-prem for SMA are going to come from Azure Automation now. So if you see new stuff that's going to Azure Automation, you could almost guarantee that's going to be on-prem. The same thing for Windows Azure Pack. So the cloud consistent story here is that what you see in the private or public cloud is what you'll get in the private cloud.
Right. And then the second thing you show us is the you show us how you really kind of make the I would assume that like a production endpoint imposed to a deployed virtual machine. And then, so this is sort of like your production specification. So it's a way to automate to impose your production specification to your deployment. Am I on the track on that?
Absolutely. I mean, you can expose whatever you want to whoever you want for this and let the automation take care of everything underneath. And it can be as that credential for that person or as a system credential. So you have full flexibility over what you want to get done and how you want to do it.
Right. And so it gives you that really seamless experience, is really transparent experience between the cloud and also your on-premise private cloud, so to speak. At the same time, it automates different processes and operation for you to really facilitate and the deployment. And that's how we kind of sort of like hook up with the DevOps concept. This is really a platform. This is really a vehicle help you accelerate you to achieve that goal.
Absolutely. And I didn't choose to do this demo, but this runbook right here, if I run this, it'll build out a new service, a new VM, and endpoints and everything automatically. So if it, I mean, that's, I think, the definition of helping the operators with the development that you've got. You pull out down a good copy of the code, you deploy something automatically, and said, here are the endpoints. So all of that is currently available, whether you're on-prem or in the public cloud.
That sounds a great demo. We probably will have you back. In fact, you know what? We're going to ask you to come back some other time to show us that scenario.
Absolutely.
That's great demo. Hey, Charles Atienda, thank you so much for showing us and share the insights that you have. Now, Charles, you show us all the automated way to deploy a workload. That's great. So we can automate how to deploy that. Now, I wonder, as we deploy all those virtual machines, how we can make sure, Tiander, that the configuration is consistent?
Yeah, we got something which is called DSC, desired state configuration, which is kind of new on the Windows platform. And what you actually do is you declare your environment. So it's not that you go through a bunch of configuration stuff and installation stuff and you forget or you skip something, but you declare how an environment should look like, and we are going to make it so through DSC.
Okay, so DSC is really a hot topic, and we can't wait to hear more from you. We're going to have you coming back again, Tiander, to talk about DSC. And Charles, thank you so much as always, and glad to have you guys. For you, all you guys out there, this is the second episode of Automation Series. I thank you for your viewing. And until then, this is Yang Chou signing off.